When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to NFL Live. We have a packed show for you today. We'll tell you the one big problem that could derail everything for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Plus, the Bears have a secret weapon for Justin Fields, and his name is not DJ Moore. And what effect will new offensive coordinator Kellen Moore have on the Chargers offense? You'll hear it directly from that man, Justin Herbert. All that, plus a scary moment at Dolphins practice today. I'm Dan Graziano, and look who we've got here with us today. I got Jeremy Fowler here with me. I got the coach Herm Edwards here with us. Lewis Riddick is getting his thing together, and he's ready to join us, break some stuff down here on NFL Live. We've got a packed house. We start with Aaron Rodgers and those New York Jets. They'll be back on the field Saturday for a preseason game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jets coach Robert Saleh said today that Rodgers will not play in that game. His status for the final preseason game has not yet been decided. All this may be just fine with Rodgers, at least until things get better on the offensive line. Check out this from our Rich Samini. He posted yesterday, by my count, Rodgers has been sacked 6 times in the last 10 dropbacks. Jeremy, is that good? It's not good.
Not good.
His completions came on quick throws. The Bucs front is really good or ... Saleh said he did not watch much of the offense yesterday and would have to go back and watch the tape. He did that and was asked today for his reaction. Here's what he had to say.
I don't think anyone in here is panicked. Coaches are always in panic mode. That's just the way we're wired. We always want things done now. But you also understand when you look at the global view of it all, there's guys coming back from injury. There's a lot of growth happening. There's a lot of really good things happening. In the building, no one's panicking. The message is still the same. We've got plenty of time. We're going to figure it out. Best 5 will play, and we'll get it done.
Jets are going to get a test for that offensive line right out of the gate when the regular season begins. Of their first 8 opponents, 7 of them have defenses that ranked in the top 10 of the NFL in QB pressure rate last season, and the other one is the Buffalo Bills, who have a pretty good defense, had to play without Von Miller for a significant portion of that season. So, Lewis, Riddick, I mean, Saleh says they're not panicking. Should they be?
Look, I'd be seriously concerned. I've been concerned all offseason, though, Dan, about this offensive line, in particular on the edges. And look, I understand that on the interior, I think they're much better suited from guard to guard when you have guys like Elijah Vera Tucker and Laken Tomlinson. You know, and so, but I think they will be okay there. And some of these guys weren't practicing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But when you move out to the edges, man, we need to know if Mekhi Becton's going to be someone they can count on. We need to know if Dwayne Brown's going to be someone they can count on. Because if they are not, and they cannot capture the line of scrimmage much better than they did last year when they were struggling to average just 4 yards per carry, if they cannot secure the edges against some of these just absolutely phenomenal edge rushers that they're going to go against, not just in the first half of the season, but all year long, Aaron Rodgers is going to be sitting there going, you know, what the hell am I doing here? What is happening right here? And it can unravel everything. It can absolutely unravel everything. And we've seen offensive lines or lack of offensive line play unravel seasons for people and absolutely just put them right in the dumpster. Because we know that it starts in the trenches. I know we talk about quarterbacks and wide receivers, running backs all the time. But we saw it last year. We saw the final 2 teams in the NFL have 2 of the best offensive lines in the NFL, in the Chiefs and the Jets. So the Jets better get this figured out. I mean, the Chiefs and the Eagles. Yeah.
Lewis makes a lot of great points, and Nathaniel Hackett, along with the offensive line coaches, is going to have to get this thing figured out. They're not running out of time by most stretch of the imagination, but I think this is one of the things they're going to have to consider. You're going to have to move the pocket, obviously, and at times you're going to use 6- and 7-man protection. Now, what does that mean? You don't get as many people out on the route. I would also look at this. Go some no huddle so you can slow the pass rush down, so you can get the ball out quickly and stay on the field so they can't obviously rotate defensive linemen on you. So all these things have to be considered. Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive line coach and the head coach, they will sit together. when the preseason is over with and look at their offensive line situation. Some of these guys will come back that have been injured and be healthy, but they've got to get that solidified. They got a 39-year-old quarterback. They can't move. They got to protect him.
It sounds like a potential problem, but Jeremy, why do the Jets feel like they're going to get it figured out?
Yeah, they're not panicked because they had three starters out against that Bucs joint practice, and the Bucs have a good defensive line. We're getting after them, but they were missing Laken Thomas and Elijah Vera Tucker. Those are the two best players up front. Dwayne Brown still on the PUP list. So they feel like when those guys come back, they'll be made whole. Mekhi Becton, they like where he's trending. This is a guy that was a top 10 tackle 3 years ago pre-injury. So they feel like if he can just get to 60, 70% of that, they have something. Joe Tippmann's a young player they like. Second-round pick can play center or guard. But as was told to me by somebody with the Jets, that still doesn't solve the core issue, is that defensive line, they know they're really good. They're trying to match that intensity with their offensive line, and they admit they haven't gotten there yet. That's the issue.
They have a little bit of time, but they do have to get it figured out. Rodgers is not used to poor pass protection. During his last five seasons in Green Bay, the Packers led the NFL in pass block win rate. So if it starts to go wrong, you never know with Aaron. Bit of good news here for the Jets. This is your first look at newly signed running back Dalvin Cook in Jets gear. Dalvin spoke today, and you'll hear some of what he had to say later on in the show. Switching to another AFC East team, the Miami Dolphins got a scare today when left tackle Teron Armstead left practice on a cart with an apparent injury to his right leg. Here you see video of Armstead leaving the facility on crutches, which is not what you want, but Armstead decided he didn't like that video. He took the narrative into his own hands, posted a video of himself walking without crutches. Although, can you see, I mean, if he had crutches, would we be able to see him in that shot? That's kind of a narrow shot. Anyway, this is him walking to the Texans facility. The Dolphins are practicing against the Texans. Jeremy, what do we know about Armstead at this point?
Well, I just checked with somebody with the organization. I was told he's getting an MRI. Could be today. Hoping to find out more information, but they're still determining the severity of the situation. Now, Tyreek Hill told reporters today he did not think it's serious because Armstead told him, hey, look, I'm just old, I'll be fine. So the Dolphins here are hopeful, holding their breath a little bit, but they should get that result back.
Yeah, no offense to Tyreek Hill's diagnostic abilities, but we'll wait on the MRI and hopefully for the Dolphins' sake, Armstead's okay. When he was on the field last season, the Dolphins allowed a sack on less than 4% of their dropbacks. That was the third best rate in the league. However, when he was not on the field, that rate more than doubled to nearly 9%, which ranked in the bottom five of the NFL. Lewis, Armstead has missed 13 games over the last two seasons. If this becomes an issue down in Miami, how big a deal would it be for Tua Tagovailoa and that offense?
Well, you saw the graphic, Dan. You put it up there. I'm sure you probably told the graphics to make that graphic right there.
You already answered the question. Yes, you're absolutely correct. So we'll just go right to break. No, seriously,
but exactly. I mean, look, it's a big deal. It's a big deal in the run game and in the pass game, man, because let's not get this twisted at all. Miami is a much more effective football team when they're able to establish the run game, and Teron Armstead is a big part of that because of how athletic he is and how powerful he is and all the various different blocks and run schemes that they can utilize with him on the football field. Now, that obviously leads to the fact that, look, in the passing game, that's where Tua gets himself into trouble when he takes hits in the pocket and he exposes himself to maybe some head trauma, having his head whiplash off the ground. You just don't want that. You cannot afford to have a franchise caliber left tackle on the football field when you're trying to win the division, trying to win the conference, which I have said all along this offseason that I believe that Miami can do. Without him, your chances of doing that go way down, as you saw again with that graphic. Offensive line play, I'm telling you, I'm going to stay on this theme, Dan, all year long. I really am, only because last year at the end of the year, when we saw how Philadelphia dominated in the playoffs, we saw how Patrick Mahomes, on a hobbled ankle, was still able to win the Super Bowl because his offensive line was the core of that football team. Make no mistake about it, it's the core of the team in Kansas City. That's what you have to have in the NFL. You just do. And I'm telling you, if they don't get things fixed in New York, and if Teron Armstead has to, like, miss multiple games in Miami, these teams are going to be in trouble, man. They just are.
Coach, how big a deal is Armstead down there in Miami?
It's a big deal. And you're talking about a quarterback that has been knocked out more times than we can remember, and you don't want to see that happen. You know, and there lies the problem. You've got to get this guy protected. Because if he's protected and these guys are healthy, this team will challenge to win this division. Because they are the fastest team on grass in the National Football League offensively. I don't know how you guard all these guys. And the quarterback's very accurate throwing the ball down the seams, but you got to protect him. If you want to get five guys out, he needs protection. And if he gets protection, you better look out. Because this offense, you can't stop it.
Mm-hmm. The video reminds us that's the one team in the league where the left tackle is not the blindside protector, but he is a big deal. He missed four games last season, yeah. And the Dolphins lost three of those games. In those games, their offense averaged fewer than 16 points. So he's important. We're just getting started on NFL Live. Anthony Richardson has been named the starter in Indy. Next, hear from someone who knows a thing or two about playing quarterback in that city. That would be Peyton Manning. You'll want to stick around for that. Plus, popular dark horse in the NFC North is the Bears. Hear why Lewis is all in and why it has nothing to do with Justin Fields.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time now to read and react to news from around the NFL. We start in New York, where Dalvin Cook addressed the media for the first time.
He didn't necessarily recruit me. We had conversations, you know, which I wouldn't speak on. But he don't got to recruit. His game recruit itself. Like Aaron is Aaron. Like, if you don't want to be a part of something like that, I don't know what it is, what you want in football. So he really didn't have to recruit me. No, I just wanted to make the best decision for my family.
Herm, you like the idea of Cook in this Jets offense, right?
I do, because it presents another package offensively, and how do you use him, right? And I think he's going to be used like McCaffrey. The way San Francisco used him. I mean, McCaffrey caught 52 balls last season, and he wasn't there the whole season. So this guy's an excellent pass catcher along with a runner. And you have a multitude of personnel groups you can put on the field now, and he becomes another threat to the defense. That is a problem, and Aaron Rodgers likes throwing to the back.
Next up, Chicago, where quarterback Justin Fields got some help on the offensive line when the Bears drafted tackle Darnell Wright in the first round. We knew Lewis Riddick was going to love that move because back in March, Lewis posted this. He said Tennessee offensive tackle Darnell Wright is going to be a Pro Bowl / All Pro in his rookie season. In consideration for, in my mind, the best overall player in this draft when it is all said and done, should be a great pro. Lewis. That's Lewis quoting Lewis. Very small sample size with only one preseason game under his belt. But did you like what you saw in that game from your guy, Darnell Wright?
Nope. I loved it. I loved what I saw, because I saw a 6'5", 340-pound guy who runs sub 5 seconds in the 40-yard dash and has almost 34-inch arms actually look like a ballerina out there on the field, both in pass protection and in the run game. Watch him pull and get out here on the edge on this crack sweep along with Cole Kmet, the tight end. Okay. Just look at this. This is 6'5", 340 pounds now. And watch him redirect, get a hit on the nickelback coming down to try and support the run, then get a block on a second-level support player, and just kind of continue to set the edge. Here he's going to block against Rashad Weaver on this halfback close screen left, but watch how he just stops Weaver in his tracks. Great kick slide, good quickness, good power to sit down and anchor and stop the bull rush in his tracks. This guy, look, that's a small sample size, right? That's one run play, one pass play, and we're going to say it's preseason, Lewis, right? Okay. Let's just let the tape keep rolling. Let him keep stacking up these kind of wins. This guy's going to be an All-Pro as a rookie. This guy's going to be one of the best draft picks they've ever had in Chicago. Wow. Mark my words. He has it all. He has it all.
Chicago fired up about its first-round pick. Speaking of first-round picks, the Colts selected quarterback Anthony Richardson with theirs. Peyton and Eli Manning watched some college tape on the former Gator quarterback, and they walked away impressed. Take a look.
All right, Peyton. You better stay out of the water for this quarterback.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
There's a Gator on the loose.
Come on, give me a break.
Steps up in the pocket.
Good job right here. He's looking to throw. He's looking to throw. You can tell he's maybe looking this tight end on a deep over. Doesn't like it. You know, kind of reset off this rush. Still kept his eyes downfield. Nothing open. And when he tucks it right there, he can go make a big play. You are getting sacked right here for a loss of four. He's going to make this guy miss. And then the cutback, like... This would have been painful for me. You would have got your legs taken out.
You and I never get to the second part. Yeah. It ends right there.
Right.
He took number 15. That's Tim Tebow's number. That's a lot of pressure. Tim Tebow at Florida is a folk hero. I think he can handle the NFL after handling that.
That's the paint from the end zone. It's not blood, folks.
That tells me he's not afraid of pressure, not afraid of expectations. I mean, there's some similarities. I mean, this guy.
He can run. He's tough.
He is built. I think Anthony could certainly use more reps, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Who couldn't?
This is not the finished product. He needs some time to develop.
Yeah, you can say he misses some throws, but he didn't have that many throws. I think it was just over 300 attempts.
Anthony Richardson hasn't played a lot of football at quarterback. There's no doubt there's raw talent there.
Josh Allen had 700 and something attempts in college, right? And the exciting big plays that he can make, like Josh Allen, those aren't going away.
Richardson, he'll load it up and cut it loose with that big arm.
I mean, he's got the build of a tight end. Picture Gronk playing under center.
If he could just throw it to himself, that would be really, that'd be really impressive. He'd be unstoppable.
Big time arm. We saw it at the camp. Arm strength, not a problem.
I think you even almost said, look at this guy's arm talent.
Did not say that.
I think for this guy, you almost said it. It almost came out. Like, I saw you almost, and you kind of held yourself back.
Did not.
It was that impressive.
You know that's not true. Go to the next clip. Anthony's going to benefit with more reps. You get into a great offensive system with a great quarterback's coach. They can, you know, hone in on his fundamentals, and you'll turn into more of a complete quarterback.
So, Jeremy, the Colts, they said Richardson would be the starter. He said he was shocked. I think he's the only one. I think we expected that. But what are they telling you about Richardson?
Well, Dan, I checked with somebody with the team to try to find out exactly how he won the job. I was told that he showed major flash moments throughout OTAs and camp. Really too many to ignore. The possibilities seem endless with the way he's been playing. And then he's taken to the routine of football, like showing up early, arm care, stretching, all the things a quarterback needs to do in the NFL. Like, he's proved to be a hard worker, which they like. And then Shane Steichen is just, he's excited to experiment with this guy and get a little weird and all you can do on the field. Because, funny story, I talked to Eagles offensive coordinator Brian Johnson this summer. Johnson recruited Richardson to Florida, was watching him at Gainesville High School in Florida, dunking the basketball and all that stuff. So he's been texting with Shane Steichen all summer saying, hey, you know, I told you, right? I told you what this guy can do. Steichen's sending him clips of things they've done in practice and all the possibilities. So there's definitely excitement of what they can do with the offense taking it to another level.
No doubt. Lewis, you excited about Anthony Richardson?
Nope. I'm really excited about Anthony
Richardson.
That doesn't
work every
time.
You
know what? You know, I know. I just tried. I thought I'd try it again. You know, what the heck? Let's just have some fun here. But look, Anthony Richardson is like Donovan McNabb plus. Okay, when I see Anthony Richardson move, when I see his hands and the way he grips the football, when I see the way in which, I mean, it's an effortless flick of the wrist and the ball's like 60 yards, 50 yards on a row. Boom. And then on top of it, you're 240 pounds plus running 4.4. Look, that's so much to work with. And as Peyton and Eli just said, look, he just needs more reps as far as decision-making accuracy and then making that routine thing right there, the decision-accuracy relationship, become much more routine. And that'll come with reps. And once he gets that, combined with the God-given athletic ability, I mean, it's scary what he can become. Mm-hmm. It really is because, you know, they're talking about, you know, Jeremy just talked about the fact that he's doing a lot of the things that the great ones do on a routine basis, showing up early, taking care of his arm, getting the extra reps, taking care of his body, making sure he has the film worked out. Like, That's the key, Herm, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about pros who become great pros. And he's exhibiting that behavior already.
Exactly right. And Riddick and Lewis, you'll remember this. I can remember playing Michael Vick. And the first thing you said when Michael Vick walked on the field as a defensive coach and as a former player, and as a head coach, you went, he's the fastest guy on the field. He's the best athlete on the field. Well, this kid's the same guy, except he's bigger. He's bigger, right? And, you know, you're going to help him in the passing game. You're going to simplify some things for him. His bailout is his ability to run the ball. And just that alone is his bailout. We saw Hurst do it. We saw Fields do it. And they improved the next year being passers. So if he takes the same kind of system that the Eagles had done and obviously the Bears have done with their quarterback, this kid, he's going to hit a home run.
We're all excited to see Anthony Richardson on the field when the real games start and how he develops. New on NFL Live, we head to Denver where head coach and training camp content fountain Sean Payton is in a Gilligan hat. Didn't he say he didn't want any Gilligan hats on the sidelines, Jeremy? What is this? Is this a Gilligan hat?
He might be trolling Garrett Wilson, who trolled him the other day for dissing his coach, Nathaniel Hackett. I think there's some subliminals going on.
Trolling.
He did say he wanted to do everything opposite the way they did it last year, so they must not have had those hats in Denver last year, or else he wouldn't have it on. Hey, when we come back, you will hear how Justin Herbert and the Chargers are using last season's playoff loss as motivation for this season. Don't go anywhere. You're going to want to hear that. Don't stop, rock like tick-tock.
Don't stop the clock till the break of dawn, till the early morning. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Herbert to throw. Chargers strike first.
Herbert rolls to his right, now throws to his left. On touchdown! Chargers! Herbert looks to Eckler, caught, touchdown!
I've never wanted to be anywhere else. This is where I've wanted to be for as long as I've been born.
2023 has been an eventful year for Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Started with that 27-point playoff collapse against Jacksonville, and then he got a new offensive coordinator to work with Kellen Moore coming over from Dallas. Just before training camp, he signed a new contract extension that makes him the highest-paid player in the NFL. I was at Chargers camp a couple of weeks ago and got a chance to sit down and talk to Herbert about all that stuff. Here's some of what he had to say.
This is why we play this game. This is our moment.
4:25 to go in the half, 27-0 here.
We're in the part of a lot of comeback, baby, and it's going to be one tonight.
My goodness, what has happened in Duval County?
Been equal parts comeback and equal parts collapse.
The Chargers in complete control of this game at 27-0 somehow find a way to snatch defeat from the hands of victory. This is going to be a long flight home, a long off season.
Can you finish this sentence for me? The way last season ended.
The way last season ended will propel us this year, and you think a lot about it last year, and it didn't go our way. I think it'd be really easy to kind of just cover it up and move on past it. For Coach Saleh to go up there and say, hey, this is what happened, and as difficult as it is to kind of talk about and move on past, you know, you have to address it, you have to learn from it.
This was a step for us,
and we're going to grow a lot from it.
And there's nothing that we can do now to change it. As difficult and as frustrating as it was, we're going to be better because of it.
Justin Herbert is now the highest paid player in the league after agreeing to a 5-year extension.
The big contract extension now heading into this season. What does that mean to you?
I think it's a chance to be the best quarterback that I can be. That's all behind me, and you know, I thought that was great to get it out of the way and not let it be a distraction for this team. I think it's a great opportunity for me to go play football and be my best. I want to go play free. I want to go play fast and fearless and be able to push the ball downfield. You know, I think this sets it up.
That leads me to my next question, which is about Kellen Moore and what impact you think he'll have on you and this offense this year.
I've done my best to pick up his offense as quickly as I can, and to have a guy like Keenan Allen.
I thought he was pretty far outside.
Right, yeah.
No, I liked it.
Mike Williams.
You think they're going to stay in that cover too the whole time?
They're super intelligent. They know exactly how defenses are playing and the leverage that they have to face. And being able to adapt on the fly, I think that's huge for our offense.
A lot of stuff we talk about on shows is about the AFC and how loaded it is with top-level quarterbacks.
It's not just that the AFC is loaded.
Now you add Aaron Rodgers.
Patrick is phenomenal.
Joe Burrow is elite.
How much do you pay attention to how, sort of how tough that AFC gauntlet is right now?
To be up there, you have to beat those guys.
Wow, I'm glad that guy's on my team.
You have to understand that you have to be at your best. You can't expect to just roll in there and win. And that's the difficult part about the NFL is you want to win every game and you want to be up there at the end. But it hasn't gone our way yet. And for us to be able to stick together, understand that, you know, this is a journey and this is a process and it's not going to happen overnight.
It's the third time in his career Justin Herbert will enter a season with a new offensive coordinator. And this year it is Kellen Moore, who was the Cowboys offensive coordinator for the previous four seasons. During that time, the Dallas offense averaged 26 points per game. That was the second most in the NFL, trailing only the Kansas City Chiefs, who, in case you didn't know, have been pretty good these last few years. Jeremy, as you talk to people around the league, you get any sense of how Moore might try and change that offense, put a stamp on it?
When I ask around, people around the league expect more shots to Justin Field go vertically downfield. Now, he could be under center a little bit more than he has been, which creates more play action, which creates those vertical shots. And teams I talked to expect him to move around the receivers a little bit. Keenan Allen could play maybe more outside. He's traditionally been a slot guy. He can do both now. They like to mix and match pieces. But, I mean, you see there, Justin Herbert, when he's driving the ball downfield, and that's been the thought scouts around the league for a long time. Like, he's got to use that arm to drive the ball and not have to dink and dunk. So, new offense should suit him well on paper at least.
Yeah, look, I think with Justin – There's a couple different things that Kellen Moore will bring. One, the simplicity of the offense, I think, is going to be something that shouldn't be overlooked. Look, Kellen makes it pretty simple. If they play too high, you throw it underneath. They play single high, you throw it outside, and you take those shots. If it's a stacked box, then you throw the football. If it's a light box, you run the football. I remember talking to Kellen Moore about this when discussing Dak Prescott, and the game is really pretty simple, and I think him being an ex-quarterback, he'll convey that to Justin so he can kind of like speed up his decision-making process. As far as how, you know, from a schematic standpoint, they're going to attack teams, will they allow Justin to push the ball down the field? Well, I'm sure they will, because that is something that is a strength of his. But also what Justin needs is he needs for all of his weapons to be there. He needs Keenan Allen to be there. He needs Mike Williams to be there. He needs Quentin Johnson to be there. He needs Austin Eckler. He needs Rashawn Slater to protect him. All of these things have to happen in order for him to be able to really utilize all of his potential. Look, they put this skill position group together perfectly. I mean, it's like a mini basketball team. These guys look like power forwards in the NBA when they go out there. And Justin really has the simplest job. He just has to put it up there because these guys are going to win their fair share of one-on-one battles. But he needs all of his guys to be available. I think that's the number one thing in 2023. They need to be available.
Lewis hit it. They need to be available. They're the prettiest team in the National Football League. When they come out in the pregame warm-up, you go, wow, how are we going to beat those guys? Health is one thing, but I also believe this. If you're going to be a good football team, you got to be tough. And what makes you tough? The ability to run the ball. This team was 30th in the league rushing the football and 28th in the league defending the run. There lies the problem. This is why they couldn't close the game out, because they're too busy trying to be pretty and throw passes. Every once in a while, you get to use this runner in Eckler because he's a fantastic football player and close the game out. This quarterback's going to throw 30-plus touchdown passes this year. Not a problem. Not a problem. But how do you close the game out? And how do you stop the run on defense? If you continue to pass the ball, you become soft defensively versus the run, and you become soft offensively not running the ball.
Well, they are paying him a great deal of money to throw the ball, so I think they will do that a lot. And they do have the receivers, right? Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were on the field for only 23% of the Chargers' offensive plays last year. They need them both to stay healthy. Here's Keenan Allen making a one-handed catch at practice. Fun stuff to watch and to think about that hookup if it can stay together. As Lewis said, those guys need to stay on the field. That has been an issue there in L.A. Let's roll through the rest of the AFC West with some quick reads. Jeremy, what do you know about Davante Adams' health out there in Vegas?
Davante Adams had a lower leg injury around his shin area, a little bit of bruising, but not serious at all. In fact, he told the team, hey, look, I'm ready to go for these Rams joint practices that started yesterday. And not only did he get on the field, but he looked like his old self. I'm told Adams made a point to show toughness with a relatively young team. He didn't want to miss training camp time, so he's been out there, and he should be 100% moving forward.
Herm, Russell Wilson back in action for the Broncos in some preseason action this weekend. What do you want to see from him?
Well, to run this offense, and it's the West Coast offense. It's getting the ball out of his hands, getting completions, not always throwing the ball down the field, but quick completions, slants, quick outs, hitches, screens, all those things become a part of Sean Payton's offense. He's going to find a way to get people the ball quickly, and Russell Wilson has to be accurate. He has to be on point to keep this offense moving. And if he can do that, he can resurrect his career.
Lewis, second year in a row, there are questions surrounding the Chiefs' wide receiver group. Get your crystal ball out. End of the season, who will have proven to be the top wideout in Kansas City?
Look, I continue to believe that it will be Kadarius Toney. Now, I understand, again, it's going to be about availability. But I know personally how Brett Veach feels about this guy. I know how Andy Reid feels about this guy's playmaking ability. He can do it all. They are enamored with his playmaking ability. But he needs to stay on the football field. Now, you're going to hear a lot of talk about Justin Ross. You're going to hear a lot of talk about Rashee Rice, their second rounder out of SMU. You're going to hear a lot of talk about Sky Moore. But this guy is uniquely skilled. He can break a game wide open. They're going to take it slow with him and get him ready for the regular season. But he should ultimately be their go-to guy.
Yeah, we saw what they were able to do with him after they got him in a trade at the deadline last year. And in the Super Bowl, he was obviously a weapon. So if he gets healthy, should be a lot of fun. You know, the Chiefs begin their title defense against the Lions in that Thursday night opener. Jeremy, it's 3 weeks from tonight. We're almost there. Still to come on NFL Live, Deshaun Watson's first season with the Browns left a lot to be desired. Hear how Kevin Stefanski's offense should look to get the most out of the team's franchise quarterback this season.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Time now for Jeremy Fowler's camp notes. Get us started, Jeremy, would you, with the Dolphins and Teron Armstead.
Let's do it. Scary sight in Houston with a joint practice with the Miami Dolphins, where Teron Armstead went down, has a right leg injury. I'm told he's getting an MRI on that injury, so they're hoping to find out more information soon. They're holding their breath a little bit. Tyreek Hill did tell reporters that he is hopeful that it's nothing serious, that Armstead told him that he should be good. He's just old. So that provides a little bit of hope, but they got to get a full diagnosis here, something more official, which should come here in short. short order. They're hopeful. They got to protect Tua. Jameson Williams, he's going to be out, it looks like, for the rest of the preseason with a hamstring issue. Dan Campbell told reporters that this week. I was at the joint practice last week. He looks good running in a straight line. He's still very, very fast. So they hope to get him back after a suspension. He's going to be keying for that number two receiver role behind Amon-Ra St. Brown in that offense. That should be very, very good. But they're going to be missing him for now. And then lastly, we got Joe Burrow here. So you got a couple things working. You got the injury, the calf strain. He's working his way back. People I talk to believe that he'll get himself ready for week one, but no firm determination yet. So Zach Taylor's taking it slowly with Burrow. He's wearing the sleeve on the leg, but he has been moving around pretty well. So encouraging so far. He also has the contract situation. Yeah. They got to work out. They are prioritizing that. They're trying. They started a little low, from my understanding. You got to work your way up. A guy of this caliber, an elite quarterback. So it's going to take some serious coin. A
lot going on there in Cincinnati. And I think we can all agree that Tyreek Hill should give all the injury updates for the Dolphins the rest of the year. I think that'd be great to just have him be a spokesman on all the health and medical stuff. It's time now to do what we call On Trend. This segment's called On Trend, and the way it works is I present a stat, and our analysts tell you if that trend will continue this fall. So let's stay in Cincinnati, where the Bengals revamped their offensive line prior to last season but didn't get the result they hoped for as that unit continued to struggle with pass protection. Since Joe Burrow entered the NFL in 2020, the Bengals' offensive line has posted the worst pass block win rate in the league. They've allowed the second most sacks per game. So, Herm, do you expect the Bengals' offensive line issues to continue this season?
I think it'll get better. Orlando Brown is there now. Obviously, that helps you. I think this as well. Sometimes you have to put your offensive linemen in position where they have a chance. In other words, you know, when you fire out on guys, when you run the ball early in games, that gets the offensive line ready to play rather than always dropping back. This guy threw 600 passes. You're going to get sacked when you throw 600 passes. I'm not saying he can't throw the ball, but every once in a while, let your offensive lineman come off the ball and hit people before you start passing it so much.
Let's stay in the NFC North and head to Pittsburgh, where Kenny Pickett looks to continue the momentum from a strong finish to his rookie season. Pickett won 5 of his final 6 starts last season, nearly leading the Steelers to what would have been an improbable playoff berth. He ranked 7th in the NFL in QBR during that span, and a big key to the turnaround was his ability to limit turnovers. Pickett only had 1 turnover during his last 6 starts. Pittsburgh legend Lewis Riddick, do you expect Kenny Pickett to continue that success this season?
I absolutely do. Look, I think Kenny Pickett's going to make that jump this year, the second year jump. I think you're going to see it because of the natural maturation process that takes place within him and also the weapons that he has to work with. And you're going to see it all come together with a guy who's going to be producing many more explosive plays. You see Kenny Pickett here. Watch him here in the pocket, get outside the pocket. This is something he showed at Pittsburgh on a regular basis, the ability to extend plays, buy time, throw the football with accuracy on the run, and not just dink it and dunk it off into the flat, but push it plus 10, plus 15 yards down the field. This is a spectacular play to George Pickens against Tampa Bay the other day. As far as him looking left, coming back right on the high-low combination, hitting George Pickens in a tight window, and then letting George do his thing with the run after the catch. And he did it all just by moving up, manipulating the pocket, keeping his eyes down the field. Standard quarterback play 101. Kenny Pickett can do those kinds of things. He's getting more comfortable. They drafted an offensive tackle in the first round in Broderick Jones. They're going to solidify the group in front of him. They have Deontay Johnson to go along with George Pickens, along with Pat Freiermuth. Hey, Najee Harris in the backfield. Things are looking up for the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. Don't count them out in the race for the AFC North.
Nowhere to go but up for a passing game that only threw 12 touchdown passes all of last year. We expect a lot more from Pittsburgh and Kenny Pickett this year. When we come back, Deshaun Watson will not play in tonight's preseason game against the Eagles. And Coach is really, really fired up about that. You're going to want to hear what he has to say when we come back.
I'm at the finish line. No other power diminish mine. I just been snacking on every taste. I'm a devour for realest time. I'm going to go harder than everyone.
ESPN Fantasy Football is the number one fantasy game, and with the season right around the corner, you can get your league started now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball. One preseason NFL game tonight, and it features the Cleveland Browns taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Browns coach Kevin Stefanski has announced that starting quarterback Deshaun Watson will not play in tonight's game. Watson threw 3 passes and completed all 3 for 12 yards in last week's preseason game against Washington. In the six games that Watson started last season, the Browns offense averaged 12.8 points per game. If that doesn't sound like much, it's because it's not. That's the fewest offensive points per game by any team in a quarterback starts last season. With then backup Jacoby Brissett under center, the Browns offense averaged over 23 points per game. Jeremy, that's more. Herm, do you think that Watson needs to be out there tonight against Philly? I think you do. I think you do, don't you?
Absolutely. If you're Deshaun Watson, you're walking into the head coach's office and saying, Coach, I want to play. I need to play football. That is a Super Bowl team. I want to play against those guys. It's important to me. It's important for this football team. Look, these guys are professional football players. You know what they do for a living? They play tackle football. That's what they do. They have 17 games, and I get it. They got preseason games. The best player in the league, the MVP of the league, was Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Patrick Mahomes? He played football.
He did.
That's what you do. You play football. You don't get to wear the baseball hat and pretend you're a coach. You do that when you retire. Go play football, man. Stop all this nonsense.
Lewis?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to disagree on this one, especially with Deshaun Watson. Look, I think coming off the season he's coming off of, given what he is being paid and how he is being paid that money, which is you really don't have to do anything in order to get all this $230 million. That comes with a heightened level, a raised level of expectations. And part of that expectation is you look much better than you looked last year in the brief moments that you played last year. And the way you do that is by getting more reps and making sure that you are, you know, in sync with this new offense in terms of the kinds of wrinkles that Kevin Stefanski is putting in this offense to suit you, to highlight your game, to accentuate your strengths, minimize your weaknesses. I'm not saying you have to play a whole half. You don't have to play a whole quarter. But you should at least take a series, build off of what you did last week against Washington, because you had some flashes last week against Washington that looked good. That looked really good. And you have some nice pieces on this football team. And you got $230-plus million fully guaranteed. But there's no question that I think Deshaun Watson should take some reps. Some, for sure.
What can you tell us about that new offense Lewis is talking
Herman
about?
Lewis got me fired up.
I want to go play tonight against the Eagles.
No doubt.
No,
the Browns are willing to experiment a little bit and try to get Deshaun Watson some comfort food based on what he dealt with in Houston. I was told with that joint practice with the Eagles this week that he had some four receiver sets, some empty set formations where he can go and just see the field and make a play, which is what he's used to. Now you're going to have the Kevin Stefanski staples, the play action, the under center stuff, which I'm told Watson also likes as well. So Stefanski feels like this is a chance for him to spread his wings a little bit and experiment with a player that the Browns believe can transcend any scheme. That's partly why they gave him the money they did. They believe he's on that short list of guys that can do that, put him in any situation, they can go win that game. He just has to show it. They're really excited about Elijah Moore, too, the guy that mm-hmm. got from the Jets.
Sure.
He's going to be primarily a slot guy, but they feel like he can do major damage this year for Deshaun Watson.
Look, things need to go from just being hopeful that this football team in Cleveland can be good to expecting them to be good. And you know what? People should expect them to be good, especially when your owner pays a quarterback the amount of money in the way in which he paid this quarterback the amount of money that he's paying it. He should be begging to be out there on the football field and setting the tone. There's no doubt about that. And again, I'm not saying he plays a whole half and he drops back 20 times and, you know, and exposes himself to a possible, you know, season-ending injury that would just be ridiculous. I'm not saying that. But he should be setting the tone, just like Patrick Mahomes does down in Kansas City, as Herm was referring to. That's the message he should be sending to this football team and to this city.
Coach, what are you doing here? What's with the helmet?
J-E-T-S.
Put your helmet on. Put the helmet on and go play football. Not the baseball hat. The helmet. Go play football.
Coach coming with props. Watson completed 58% of his passes last season. It's the fourth worst number in the league, so that's got to come up. Time for one more thing before we go. And for that, we turn to the great Rob Gronkowski, who got Giants fans' hopes up this week. Listen to this.
Brian Daboll wants me on his roster.
Gronk, we can't.
He won't have that face if I was
Gronk,
on the team with him.
Gronk, we can't keep doing this.
I know, but
where's,
I love to do
where's
it.
Where's the window? Is it?
I love to do it, though.
Is it, like, open? Is
I love
it,
to pretend that I can still play. Just makes
me
feel
you
good.
You definitely could still play.
No, I can't.
I'm washed up.
Who's the coach that
Wait,
has
I
the,
just like to pretend.
Who's the coach that has the best chance to get you out of retirement?
Brian Daboll.
What do you think? Brian Daboll. Like, they got Darren Waller, but hey, should they make a call maybe?
Is he? Two tight end set. He was with them in New
Is
England.
Is he dropping Daboll's some breadcrumbs? Is that Makes what he's sense. Doing?
I don't know. I think he's just goofing off. No. It seems to be the default with Gronk. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.